Hello and welcome to the 7th Manx 40 pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Kim Hicklin, Alex Honnett, and the Isle of Man FA's Women in Football Development Officer, Simon Elson. Welcome along, guys. I say welcome, but we're sort of we're squatting again, aren't we, Dave?
Rapidly turning us into our home.
Yes, we're in the FA offices, looking out. It was two children recording some sort of Instagram video when we came in there, Simon.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Yeah. After last week's pod, which of course we held in the Lewis Qualtrough suite, now we're in the boardroom.
It is.
My suite.
This is your suite, Simon. It does look like you're having a bit of a stock take at the moment, is that correct?
I'm just getting the trophies out to polish, and also I'm going to do a bit of redecorating.
Oh,
so next week when you come back.
Jack of all trades, of course, he's eating some tremendous biscuits again.
It's our favourite time of the week, isn't it?
I know, yeah, Oreos and some Jaffa cakes. Of course, not just it. Go on, Dave.
I was going to say a bit of controversy that there's some soft fruits or something there as well. It's not just biscuits.
Yeah, that's a bit of a curveball, that, Simon.
It's just to keep Kim quiet, we'll give her a couple so we can get a word in.
Right, we're not just here to talk about confectionery and the state of the boardroom. We're in to talk about women's football as a whole, but also the Nedbank Woodlet Cup, which starts on Sunday. Two fixtures and the bowl on Sunday afternoon. Kim, your Douglas Royal side kick off against Alex's Laxey this weekend. I'm trying to keep the Simons here. You said you're going to be in a bit of a mediatory role here, aren't you?
No, I'm just Douglas Royal, so.
Okay, bang goes that neutral side.
Sorry.
So, Kim, I think you played each other earlier last month, wasn't it? You won 4-1 in the league. Are you confident going into it?
Fairly confident. Rose had a pretty good start to the season. Played 5-1-4, marginally missed out against Peel. It was 2-1. It's kind of a game of two halves, that game as well. But I think Laxey have been the most improved team over the past year or two, to be honest. I think the young girls that are coming through are absolutely really, really good, and it's really promising for the Ireland setup. So I think it'll be a really good game.
Alex, you've got Laxey, as Kim says, you've made a promising start to the campaign, a couple of wins. What's the feeling in your camp? Obviously, are you confident?
I think we are quite confident, but more excited that we have like a squad with like enough numbers to pick from now instead. Like, we were struggling for numbers for a lot of the seasons. And it's just been, you know, demotivating sometimes to play with like seven players or something. Mm. And as a side playing against us, it's probably frustrating as well because it's not a proper game. But yeah, now that we've got pretty good starting 11 for things, it's exciting to see what will come.
So fingers crossed the weather's fine, Simon. Obviously it looks great today, but I'm not going to take any thunder away from, quite literally, from Dave reads the weather. But yeah, it does make a difference in the bowl, doesn't it? It's quite, you know, windswept at times.
It is windswept, but you know what? We've got a 3G pitch there, and it'll be played in all weather. Mm. Hopefully when Royals versus Laxey get together, there will be some fireworks on Sunday. You know? I hope so, you know what I mean?
To say one thing there, by the way, guys, it's like a 3G pitch up at Bala Fletcher as well. Games never get called off there, so just saying.
Yeah, but the Bema Bow, as we're told by our boys at Gunners Athletic, you're referring to there. Simon, you've recently taken over the development position at the FA. We touched on the Women's and Girls Development Officer. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But how are you finding the role? You've been in it about 6 weeks now, 2 months?
No, I've only been in it 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay.
Doesn't time fly, yeah. You know what I mean? And basically it covers girls from reception class all the way up to the veterans and the youngsters. And it is a challenge, but I'm loving it, yeah. Absolutely loving it. You know, the girls help me, we put things on, you know, and there would be a lot of things coming. Like we had 140 primary school kids in on Friday, just gone, absolute chaos, but it was ace, you know what I mean, it was ace, you know. We've got the Wildcats coming, and then we'll have the Manx Youth Games, which hopefully will feed into senior football, and that's where we're at the moment. That's my 3 weeks.
And you know, before you took the role, did you have some sort of expectations? Has it met that, or has it been different, or, you know, have you found it?
I didn't have any expectations, to be honest, because watching girls football on a Sunday, you know, and I've got to thank Kim for getting me into that, and the girls. It's a pleasure to be involved in. It really is, you know what I mean? These guys are really pleasant now, but on the pitch, they become animals, you know what I mean? You know, they're all nice now, looking at each other, sharing the biscuits now, but Sunday afternoons, that'll be it. It'll just be carnage, I reckon.
So. How's the future of women's football in the island looking at it? Are you confident it's going to get better and better?
Yeah, I am. We're going to be doing a lot of promotion for it. You know, girls that have been away from the game, if they want to come back, by all means, get back into the game. We'll have to maybe look at some formats, you know, five-a-side leagues, trying to get them, entice them back in, and just go out and speak to them. You know, we're going to be holding forums, you know, with the players to see where we can go, what we can do, and how we can get back, you know, up where it belongs, because just behind Alex there, there's two Shields, one Division Two.
Yeah.
So how many teams were there at one stage, you know, so...
We've lost a couple of teams over the last 2 years. So we lost Jims last year, and then this year Dafka left us as well, which is a shame. I think we've talked about it every single year since I've ever played, but the fact that they stopped girls playing at the age of 14 and 15, I think that's still a massive, massive issue. Mm. And personally, I think if that was allowed and girls were allowed to play at like 14, 15, I think that would definitely help.
Would you say 14 and 15, in the boys' mixed players, are they all younger or in their own separate league, or what would you?
No, so like the likes of Becky Cole and Kerry Williams, when they first started playing at Royals, I was a bit later, I didn't start till 16, but when they first started, they were playing women's football at 14 and 15.
Right, I see.
And yeah. I kind of think, well, you know, it's like if the girls have, say if they've got like hockey and football, and they get to say 15 and they can't play women's football for another year, they go after hockey or they go after netball or do another sport, all of a sudden they get that friendship group, and then you never see them come back to football because they've got friends there, they're enjoying what they're doing, and it's very rare that they end up coming back. And I think that's where we're losing a large pool of the girls, to be honest. And until, I personally think, unless that age can be changed, then I think it's always going to continue to cause us problems, really.
You lose a lot through that gap, really, don't you?
That gap is just... we just lose so many girls. And of course, obviously you get to 14 or 15 and stuff. You want to be playing, that's the kind of age you should be playing. I think what a lot of girls struggle with when they come into the Women's League is the physicality of it. And I think if you're playing at, say, 14 and 15, then, you know, that's only going to improve, isn't it?
Yeah.
My personal opinion on that, kind of.
Do you agree, Alex?
Yeah,
you're nodding there.
Entirely.
Yeah.
It's like with netball as well, that starts at 14 that you can play seniors. Mm. And I'd been playing in that. I think hockey is 14 as well, were you saying before?
Yeah.
And that's mixed at times, depending on your league.
Yeah.
So I don't see why it can't be the same for football.
Did you play mixed with the boys at a younger age? I think it's under 14, or you can play
you
under
can,
12?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Well, no, you can. Yeah, you can play mixed football all the way through.
Right.
Up to the under 18s.
Okay,
right.
You know, Tia and Ella, I think they're playing for Onken, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because Laxey haven't got, you know.
Yeah.
So they're playing in that. So it is, you know, it's the same old story, but I think it comes down to a safeguarding, a welfare issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so until that's looked at and overturned,
it's going to always be a problem.
That's where we're stuck at the moment.
I think in the past, though, we've been told that we have to be in line with the FA rules and stuff, but I don't really get that, because there's a lot of things that we do differently to what the FA do, like women's subs. There's no ladies don't play women's subs in the UK.
Mm.
So I kind of think it feels like, it's not obviously not Simon's issue, it's much higher up, but I think every single year we've been banging our heads against the same issue, and it doesn't, as I say, until I think that's kind of resolved or something's done about that, I don't think we're going to keep hold of them players at 14.
I suppose a question for both of you. There's only six teams in the league now. Is it a bit like Groundhog Day? You're playing everyone probably two or three women four times a season, aren't you? So
no, it's not, to be honest. And I was actually just saying to Alex before you guys came, I'd actually prefer us to play each other three times over, because obviously you still pay the same amount of money to play every single year, no matter if there's eight teams in the league or five teams. And plus, it just makes the season a little bit longer. Mm. So now we finished the first half of the season because we played five games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just feels like it's just gone so fast. One good thing, I think, about us doing it differently with the Floodlit Cup this time is normally it's split into A and B league, so you play every other week. And now, because there's only one league, because there's
six.
So little teams, we're going to be playing every week, but everyone just gets 1 week off, which I kind of think is better.
Mm.
Because over Christmas, the girls get 3 or 4 weeks off anyway. So if you've only played every other week, and then you have your 3 or 4 weeks off for Christmas, it feels like you've played literally four, like say 3 or 4 games in like a 3 month period,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
And that's momentum, isn't it, Dave? One of our buzzwords on the podcast is that obviously disappears if you're only playing once a month.
I think it's not momentum. I think it's more the fact you put about half a stone on over. You need to keep going.
Good job, there's some cameras.
We've seen in recent seasons as well as links have been forged with the likes of Altrincham and things like that. Is that something you're looking for, looking to do more with English clubs over the coming seasons?
We are. One of the things that we're looking to do, it's in the infant stage for me at the moment, is to try and get the academies, Everton, Man U, Blackburn, Liverpool, to come over and actually play at the bowl. You know, play our younger teams, have a tournament, you know, and the under-18s, someone approached me today, can we come over and play? Well, we can bring more teams over and raise the profile of the girls' game. It's only got to be good for us.
Yeah.
You know, we've got somebody possibly going away for trials, which I think in the last 4 or 5 years, how many have we had? One, two, three, four, five. We've had about six.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Tia, Ella, and Alana. They've all signed. So, you know, the potential's there. If the girls want to, you know, progress, it's, you know, they just don't have to reach the 15 or whatever, and that's it. 16, the sky's the limit for them.
Royals have established quite a good relationship with Blackburn Rovers now, and they're actually over at the moment doing
doing a camp, aren't they?
Yeah, like a girls only and a goalkeeper. And I was just speaking to Paul Glover yesterday, and he said that they're keen to come over and do a few more tournaments, you know, like maybe Easter and stuff. So I think that relationship's quite good. You know, to bring their teams over.
And Alana's at Blackburn as well.
Yeah, definitely. So they seem really keen on coming back, not just to do this like the camps, but also just to do like tournament based kind of things. So I think that's really positive.
Alex, the point you sort of touched on briefly there is about, I know both of you play a lot of sports, you play netball and stuff like that, and that's probably quite different to men's, but you know, obviously we've got a few exceptions that do bits and bobs, but football seems to be their sole focus. Now, is playing different sports, is it a big advantage? You know, do you take things from your netball into your football and stuff like that?
Even if it's just down to like fitness, doing more, that you can like just get fitter to play on the pitch and last the whole game.
And beat Royals.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
I don't think there's anything wrong with your fitness, Alex.
Yeah, but it's just all like aspects of being part of a team. Netball's a very different fitness because it's like much shorter burst of like short energy and sprints as opposed to football, which is more like leg it round for as long as you can. But yeah, definitely I take that, like working as a team. Netball, especially for knowing your role because you're very restricted in what you can do, has made me a bit more focused in football, maybe like not trying to do everything because you just run yourself ragged otherwise.
You've got to be disciplined, haven't you?
Yeah, that's the word.
That's all right, I wrote it down.
Is there any of your fellow netball players that you'd like to see make the move into football at all?
I think definitely just to like get more girls playing. I think that's maybe a good thing to do, actually, maybe try and go into different like sports leagues and say, hey, why don't you try and come down to football or something? I think a lot of the rugby girls have put in teams in summer league. It'd be good to see.
But that's what we're going to ask the girls. You know, I'm only one person. Girls, what's your ideas? You know, you come up with a couple there straight away, and we'll just take that forward. You know, I think at the moment there's over 140 registered, so we'd have to have, how many can we fit? 40 people in here at one time. You know, so it's going to be lots of forums, get the managers in, you know, and basically we're just going to get some, like a committee, you know, to drive football forward for the women. Do we have to change to a summer? Because in the summer league, there was 9 teams, wasn't there? You know, so they're all the kind of things we have to address. And then I'll take them forward, obviously, to the FA and say, listen, can we do this? Is it possible?
Kim, what do you think about the summer idea? Because obviously the Women's Super League, as it was called, it keeps changing name, doesn't it? But that played in the summer for a while, didn't it? And I think it's moved back to winter again now, isn't it? But you know, they seem to be getting good attendance figures and off the back of the World Cup success of England and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kim, would you think a summer league would work over here?
It seems to work over here at the moment. I think a lot of girls that play hockey, which is the same kind of, like, it's both winter sports, football and hockey, a lot of girls seem to want to play football, but obviously you can only pick one, especially when you've got families and stuff. You don't want to be using your whole weekend to play sports. But I actually enjoy summer league football. Sorry, but it's not as competitive, and right. It's kind of a nice break in, like a little bit of a pre-season break in, really, before you actually play like winter league. But
hang on, we lost the final, and you're saying you didn't.
I actually missed the penalty, so let's not remind me.
So you've just said, she said she didn't try as hard.
No, I did. Obviously, I did try hard. But I've been going to Ireland training, haven't you? So that. But a lot of girls I speak to seem to be really keen for it. I think at one of the last meetings we had, there was a suggestion that we maybe do like, obviously, just run with the winter league as normal and do an actual. Like, so maybe split into two leagues, do like a competitive league for the summer, and maybe just like a fun, you know, like a new social, teams, just yeah. a social like blending. So as you say, like the rugby team put a team in, and they seem to have loads of fun. They seem to be the team that were laughing most, yeah. actually. To be honest. So I think it'd be a little bit daunting for the likes of them to play against teams that are already established. Mm. But if there was to maybe just split the summer league into, say, competitive and then kind of a fun league, I think that would be a good idea. And it's always nice to be, obviously, even training and playing, it's always nice when the sun's shining, everyone's always happy, aren't they? But equally, it's obviously nice to have the summer off as well.
Yeah. And Alex, obviously, was just looking back to last season, so it's slightly changing time, but you had a great season personally. You won the Women's Player of the Year and the Under-21 titles. How did you feel about that? You must have been over the moon.
I was over the moon. I was very surprised. It's like, I don't know. You don't know really how to respond to it. It's very nice. I was very flattered. But it's just going into the next season as well. It's nice to have, like...
Are you more of a marked woman now?
Oh, I hope not. But it's nice to be going into a season after that and just feeling like drive and motivation from that and going, I want to try and do that again.
Okay. Well, I think that'd be quite unique to win the double-double twice. Obviously, Mr. Myers has won a few Borough Rose Bowls, but I don't think he's obviously, there's many players that have won the young player and the senior player in the same year. Kim, what was good? I was going to say... who do you think's favourite for the silverware this season? I mean, team silverware, obviously. Are you gonna say it with Douglas Roy? Are you gonna be that confident? Obviously, Peel are top at the moment of the Grass League with 6 wins out of 6.
Put me on the spot here.
No, you didn't. You really asked.
Peel.
Is it nicer that as a dilemma this year? Because sometimes women's football teams tends to be dominated by either by yourselves or Corinthians.
I'd say Corinthians more so the past few years. Yeah.
But before yourselves were the team. So is it nice this year that actually there is a bit of debate around it rather than one team running away with it potentially?
Yeah, of course. And to be fair, even though the league's shorter, like every game's difficult. I know you mentioned before that we beat Laxey 4-1, but that certainly wasn't an easy game. Mm. And even likes of Colby and stuff, they've improved. I think because... other teams have kind of dropped out. Some of the better players from them teams have gone to join like sort of Laxey or like Colby, and they've strengthened that team. So it is good to play every game when it's going to be a difficult game. But with regards to who's going to take the silverware this year, it's a tough one. I'd probably say I wouldn't rule Corinthians out completely for anything. The grass rule out for them, but I think. Maybe Peel.
Peel. Good
shout.
Simon,
I'll
put you on
there. I'm an FA representative. <I'm saying. laughs>
As Douglas Royal manager, what's your opinion?
I can't go against you, can I? No. But I am. I'm going to go against it. One of the cups, I'd say Laxey. Mm. You know, because on the day, you can beat anyone. Mm. You know, definitely. Corinthians as well. But...
come January, they're going to have Jade Burden back, and I think she's massively missed there, just for even organisation and just team spirit. And you know, sometimes when things get a bit heated, she seems to calm it all down. But also, just she's like a class player as well. She's a handful to mark against.
We'll talk about Jade in a minute.
I think, as you say, I think Corinthians come January, there's definitely not, there's no stopping them getting a cup, or maybe even a couple of cups.
I'm going to put my heart. Because I obviously manage Royals, or co-manage, sorry. I'm going to put half my heart on Royals winning the league. Okay. Because that's the way it is.
You know, we've got
our record. I was too scared to say.
Kim has told me to say that, by the way. I've got the text.
Along the same sort of lines with Jade coming back, I think Corinthians would be up there with Peel, I think, with really challenging them. But Peel have got a very strong side this season. They've got a lot of people and a lot of very good people as well.
I think they've got 29 or something signed. Wow. Which is, we've got 14 or 15 signed up.
That's a lot of players.
It's not even just like quantity, they're like quality players as well. So it's like.
Signed Becky Abbott up front. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she used to play for Man City when she was younger.
Oh, wow.
And she offers something a little bit different. Mm. And I think certainly for the Ireland team as well, she might offer.
She just moved to Ireland? Or?
I think she came in over the summer. Right. She didn't play Summer League for them, but she's only quite a short girl, but she seems to be pretty clinical in front of goal. And she offers Peel something different in the sense she's quite pacey. Mm. Completely, as for the Ireland team, as well, is going to offer something different because Jade's obviously pacey, but she's more like a bit of a powerhouse, isn't she? Whereas Becky,
a target woman.
Yeah. Whereas Becky's short, but a bit
more technical.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, talking of Jade, we had a message from Paul Hatton this week. Obviously, we'll come on to Hattie a bit later on. But did you see this on Facebook this week, Emma's?
I did actually. And Emma actually messaged as well.
So Jade made her debut in Tenerife this week, and sounds like it was quite eventful. Eventful would be the word used. I think her physical style might be a contradiction to the Spanish way of
finesse
and way of their game. But yeah, it sounds like I recommend if you can see Emma's Facebook status, have a look at it, because it sounds like Jade had an eventful 90 minutes. I think she did see out the full 90.
I think she did.
Yeah, but she
not long ago she broke 8 ribs as well. So playing, someone actually wiped her out midair. So.
You don't want to do that to the bomber,
no.
I wouldn't.
No. So yeah, the bomber is certainly making a mark in the Tenerife game. Final question. I think that was the final question was about silverware. We've got onto our Twitter questions now. We've had a few in. Dave,
first one's in from Tony Sewell, the gym's manager. He cheekily asks you, Kim, as you're now a veteran of Manx Women's Football.
Right, we'll stop there.
Stop.
Go on then. Kim, now you can process to that.
Well, I'm not really sure about the veteran comment, considering I'm only 31. Well, let's just forget that a little bit for now.
Stalwart.
Maybe that sounds a little bit better.
Yeah.
Amazing. Have you seen an improvement in women's standards from past years, as there has been in the professional game?
I've definitely seen an improvement in the Isle of Man national team, and I don't know if when we go away, if we're actually getting better or other teams are getting worse, or it's kind of a difficult question really. Obviously watching the coverage and stuff on TV, you can definitely see there's more like coverage for ladies football, and that kind of side of the game seems to be getting better. But on Ireland, I think I'd say it's quite static in club kind of football. Simon's nodding his head at me, but did the wrong thing there. But maybe hopefully things might improve with Si. No, but with regards to the Ireland team, I kind of think I think I was about 18 when I first started playing, and there's definitely the team now that we've got is definitely better, and that comes from playing away and playing better competition as well. So I guess maybe the answer's yes, really, to that. A bit of a.
But it's not all about the players. It's about backroom staff, coaching, getting the girls involved, you know. And coach, because you know the amount of people years ago that just turned up and said, let's just play.
Mm.
But now there's coaching badges to do. There's, you know, to bring out the raw ingredient. And people.
Obviously, you said Kim's assistant or co-manager with you at Royal. Is there
I'm
any
never assistant?
Never mind the assistant manager. Co-manager.
There was a spell in the 90s where every professional club had two managers.
Yeah.
But anyway, I get off the point. Are there many women going into coaching side of it at the moment? You know, have you seen many on the level ones and level twos?
We've had CPD events, in the past. For personal development, and I've seen women on those courses, but whether they feel a bit intimidated by the males, the lads aren't doing anything, they're just there. So what we're hoping to do is run some more courses.
You had a women's only, I think there was one last year, or maybe earlier this year, wasn't it? I think they had one.
Yeah, and that was well attended, and the girls that I know and I've spoken to, they're like, no, I'd love to do it. We want to get into coaching, Kerry at our club, she wants to do goalkeeping, but you've got to do an outfield one first.
Right.
So there is a pathway to follow. And I think once the girls understand, we'll get more in, because we're also losing girls who are retiring from the game and they're just going.
Mm.
They're not putting anything back into the game, which is unfortunate. So that's what we're going to try and tap into as well.
Mm. I think that's the time to get people involved, really, because like coaching, to be fair, I'd love to get into it as well. But when you're obviously playing on a Sunday and training in the week, it's difficult to do everything.
Yeah.
I kind of think once once your playing days are kind of coming to an end. I think that's definitely something that I'd say most I kind of think that would be something, as Simon said, to give something back as well. But I also think if you've kind of played a little bit, you kind of know how to approach different situations and how to, you know, like training sessions and even away trips and stuff like that. I kind of think when you've got a bit of actual playing experience, you can give something back to that kind of thing.
What about refereeing? We remember we had women's referees did a cup final back in 2007, 2008, something like that.
So Joe Hicks, was it?
Yeah, Joe Hicks, and there was Lauren Whelan, and I can't remember who was on the other line. It was when the cup final was at Laxey, you think you won it?
It was Jeremy Kirkham.
Yeah, and it was, but you had all officials were women. But yeah. You're getting more women's officials, or is it like the men's game where it's like trying to pull teeth?
Yeah, it is. it is. But what I'm looking at is maybe getting the youngsters in from 13, 14. This is breaking news because I haven't discussed it with my boss yet.
We'll put a jingle over the top of it.
It's basically saying to the kids, okay, we'll do coaching. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a taste of coaching, refereeing, and one other aspect of running the club, you know. So when they reach 16, instead of going, I don't want to play seniors, and they walk away, you know, especially lads, they would have had a grounding for refereeing, they would have had a grounding for coaching, so they can straight away go into that. You know, there's the pathway there for them. And it's just something that we're playing around with at the moment.
Alex, does any of those roles appeal to you? And obviously you're at the start of your career, as it were, but do you think, I wouldn't mind being a ref? Or
I'd be so terrified if I was a ref. It's really not for me.
It'll start you off in juniors.
I guess if you have sort of more of the, like, seeing it more when you're younger, but like whenever you see it when you're younger, you just see them like getting a bit of abuse, really. So I'm like, that's not for me.
I get enough on the pitch. Girls, that was like, I think Gemma Kirkham was doing a bit of junior reffing, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple from Corinthians were doing like junior level stuff. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's a good place to start, really, as you say. Mm-hmm. I think Jo Hicks, it's a shame she doesn't ref anymore, because the girls have so much respect for Jo, and she's such a good ref. I've never seen Becky Cole behave so much. When Jo is in charge, she doesn't say zip.
Yeah.
I was going to say, actually, with people who do like GCSE PE, you can do officiating for sports as well, and you can actually get like marks out of it, and it goes towards your exam as well.
That's what I mean. We've got two, you know, the old versus new, and the better. And we've got a couple of ideas already, you know, and that's why I want to try and generate a bit of momentum going forward, you know, and these guys coming up with it.
Yeah,
you get paid for it as well, to be fair, don't you? Yeah. 25 quid.
Kim's thinking about it now.
I could get paid for it instead of playing, actually.
Tony, another question he sent in was for you, Simon, and again, slightly different topic. He said, do you think, although we have covered it with the girls earlier, do you think lads under 16 should be able to play for Combi if up for it? And is there a problem with the 16 to 18 gap in the men's as well as with the girls, as we've talked about?
My own personal view is, like, I played sports, you know, from knee high, and if you're big enough, good enough, you're supposed to be able to play. You know, and me personally, I think they should be able to, but obviously the rules are there for a reason, and it's a shame because, you know, we have covered it. 16 to 18s, we get a good turnout in the under 18s league.
Well, we're going to say it, obviously, the under 18 league has been rebadged and relaunched this season for the men, and it seems to be going down. Great stuff.
Big success.
It's a big success. I think it's working and playing it here and a midweek. And it seems to be, obviously, St George's are top at the moment, Laxey. And I think it's going to be a competitive league. So maybe that's not as dead as people have thought. As, you know, it's had a couple of tough seasons, but maybe we are seeing some of the green shoots of recovery in that now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've seen the lads, and you know, there's a great level of football there. You know, it's well attended, spectators, and it's played the way football should be. You know, there's nothing given back to the refs.
Andy Glover, apparently another young referee.
Absolutely, yeah, fantastic.
He did our peel. Game, didn't he?
He's getting a lot of rave reviews, though, considering what I don't think you'll mind me saying, his toe rag he was when he was playing.
I'll agree, because he said that to me as well. But just going back to referees, why don't you referee? you do it on the pitch. You might as well get paid for it. Yeah, screw it, Alex. You know what I mean?
I'm not dead and buried yet, I know. Referred to as a veteran here. I'm only 31.
Watch out, Tony.
Still, I know. Still life in the old dog, yeah, guys.
Next question's in from Agent Rashid, who we've just found out that the girls don't actually know who Agent Rashid is.
Agent Rashid maybe needs to do a bit more coverage of women's football.
Yeah, anyway, do you guys need agents at all?
He's the Isle of Man Premier Super Agent. So he's got moves for at least one player, hasn't he, from air to youth.
So he is prolific. His first question, he's got two questions. So the first one is, do you think the coverage that Hattie has given to the women's game has helped it? I think it goes without saying that...
His multimedia bandwagon.
He does a phenomenal job.
Yeah, he did, and obviously he was doing... He's probably not doing as much women's football as he's done in the past, but he was used to be. He was at a game every week, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So he's obviously helped it, hasn't he?
Golden moments were
videoed.
Videoed and written about in The Independent every week, weren't they?
He actually gave me a video once of about 50 goals I'd scored, and it was all like different clips. Actually for my 21st birthday.
Oh, wow.
It was really sweet, that.
You scored 50 by
then. Well, maybe not 50, maybe 15. No, but I think Hattie is an absolute legend, to be fair. I think the time and effort he puts into not just football on the island, but he's travelled with us through his own expense quite a lot of time as well. I definitely don't think we would have had the coverage without him. I think it's sometimes a bit of a thankless job as well, to be honest. Yeah. People forget that, how much time and effort he actually puts in, but I think he's a legend.
Yeah.
And I've got just only good words to say about him, to be honest.
Yeah, we're buttering up nicely to do Sunday's games, aren't we? Oh, yeah. Although I think he'll have a hangover because he thinks he's organising something on Saturday night, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a busy man.
Yeah. He also said, well, Rashid says, were you gutted that you didn't get the Isle of Man's women's job, manager's job? Because that was one of Rashid's prominent campaigns, wasn't it? He wanted Hattie to be the new women's team manager.
Well,
I think Hattie politely said he didn't, respectfully said he didn't really have the credentials.
So he's a busy man. Time to do it.
Data analyst, maybe, or something like that. Yeah.
There's rumours he's coming back to do coverage of the floodlet.
Well, what were you saying?
I was at Man United Everton on Sunday and I bumped into him and he said he was coming back.
But that was a shock. Kim!
No, he actually did say that he was coming back for the floodlet cup. Yeah. He's missed, really, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I was gutted that
he
didn't get the
make a fuss
job.
Of him when he comes back on Sunday, if he comes back. So you gutted he didn't get the job?
Well, actually, I've only just found out, to be fair, today that he actually applied for you guys. But I guess if there's a next best person, it would definitely be Brian
Campbell. I think it was just assumed, wasn't it?
We're just circulating rumours here. Yeah.
Fake news, as Donald Trump would say.
And actually, speaking of the man himself, Hattie's got some questions in for you.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. First one's for you, Alex. How much did you enjoy your first Ireland games last year?
It was just the best. It was so good. Like, thinking about it, just like makes me beam. It was so much fun. Like, to be playing at such a high level, but also just having such a funny time as well. Like, our little cabins were great. We were like two little homes for a week. And like, just the team spirit we had, like, it was just amazing. Mm-hmm.
Did you win anything?
We got silver. Yeah. Silver.
There we go. Look at the beam on the face.
I
love it.
Which is amazing as well for a first one to get a silver. It's just, I was absolutely buzzing. Still am.
Well, one of his other questions is for both of you, how disappointing was it to miss out on gold by a mere 9 minutes? You were so close to winning it.
Scotland are always strong, though, aren't they? Scandinavian football.
They were, and to be fair, if you would have said to me, would have asked me before we went, would you be happy with a silver medal? I'd have actually snatched your hand off.
Yeah.
And the squad that we took was quite small in comparison to other football teams. They took like 20, and we took 17, I think, 17, and there were two goalkeepers in there, so 15 outfield players. It was quite a young squad as well. So if you would have asked me before, would I have been happy with silver? I would have said yes, but when we lost, it was disappointing. I think in my heart, like now looking back, they were definitely a better team, but we had them riled and, you know, we weren't even playing nice football, we were just battling. They didn't like the physicality of the way we were playing. So obviously it's disappointing because it was so close to the end, but, you know, when you think about it, silver medal is a brilliant result, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Having seen some of the party atmosphere and celebrations afterwards, first hand, I can say the disappointment probably wasn't the worst.
The party was still good. It always is at the Island Games, to be fair, though. As Alex said, that last Island Games was probably my favourite Island Games.
Really? Right.
It was just the team spirit, even though there was a small squad, it was just the team spirit was there and the manager and everything just clicked and everyone was just like everyone just so like keen, and that was amazing. It really was. It was just such a good week away, and everyone just got on so well, and there were so many laughs. Obviously a few tears after the final whistle of the final, but you know, they were short-lived, as you say, when we went to the party afterwards. But, yeah, it was a good hour of games.
Yeah, all of it as well. Like after the Western Isles game, I think we were all a bit down off that, but did we have Ireland after that?
Yeah.
And we just knew like all out for that game, because it was either all that or nothing basically. So everyone was back in, just all in tune with each other. It was great.
I actually think, even though it sounds bizarre, I actually think losing that Western Isles game was good for us, and I kind of think, not that I don't think we would have gone in against Ireland strong, but I don't think it was like all or nothing that game. Like, you know, if we would have lost that, we had nothing else to really play for. But I think losing that game gave everyone a bit of a kick, you know, and actually made us, like, you know, work a little bit harder and stuff. So I actually think I'm actually kind of glad we lost that game, even though it sounds stupid saying you're glad you lost the game of football. I actually think it gave everyone that drive to try and literally go out and absolutely flog them.
That lesser known commentary term, absolutely flog them.
There you go.
He also asked, obviously, next year there's the Ireland Games that isn't the Ireland Games in Evesmon, Anglesey, which Dave keeps spelling wrong in the paper. He says, how far do you think you'll go in that? So, Alex, do you think, you know, obviously, if you're going on that result, if Gotland are there, you'll be going as, you know, one of the favourites, won't you?
I'm going in hopeful. Mm-hmm. I'd really like us to do well. With how promising it was coming out of that, it's really exciting to see maybe what a new squad could bring to that. It'd still be a relatively young squad, I feel like. It's only been 2 years since the Gotland Games. But,
I was waiting for Kim's comment there. Sorry.
I had to count 1 to 10 there. Young squad.
So what did you think, Kim? Obviously,
the only medal that we haven't won as a team is a gold medal, and coming so close the last games, I think everyone has to aspire to go for that, you know, that final hurdle and get the gold medal. But I think the way we played in the last Ireland games, there's certainly a lot to build on, and I think Brian and his coaching staff that have come in, they seem to be doing a good job. Everyone seems to be high, and the numbers and stuff at Ireland training seem to have been back to where they used to be as well. So I kind of think, well, come Innismon, why can't we go for that final hurdle and get the gold?
We talked about this with Jonesy the other week. Innismon seems to be going to host this and win it. They had a trial match for the men's, and I presume they'll be doing similar with the women, and there was up 50 people there, and they seem to be really trying to go out to win it at home. You know, Innismon, I've been there or thereabouts, haven't they? Do you think they'll pose any threat this year, next year, sorry?
I'm trying to think what were the scores when we played them.
That was our first game in Gotland, wasn't it? Yeah, we did win. I think it was like, I don't know.
I remember them being quite physical, if I remember. And that's something in the past that our team has normally struggled with, to be honest. We kind of play pretty football. But I think, obviously, with them being the home, like the home side, I think they've definitely got a bit of an advantage there. Certainly a nice night's sleep, which is always beneficial. But I think, as I say, I don't see any reason why we can't get gold next time. I think we've had 2 silvers and a bronze in the past Ireland games. And last year, for me, I honestly feel like we should have got a gold medal. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason why we can't push them. And even though they're trying to go to what other lengths to try and make them win at, kind of at home, I still think it's the team that's out on the field at the end of the day, isn't it? And I do think we'll have enough to do well.
Good. While we've been talking, we've had one more Twitter comment. It's not a question.
Oh.
It's for Kim. It's from the Shire, Callum Morrissey.
Don't read it out, please.
Just there also, when you get Kim on, get Cherry Bakewell as the cake during the interview. Just trust me. Would you care to elaborate, Kim?
No, I don't think I should talk about the Cherry Bakewell cake thing.
Well, okay. As co-manager, I'm allowed to. No, I don't know. I was just going to say, the girls have actually got open trials on the 7th of November and the 14th of November.
Okay.
So we want every single girl who wants to attend them to come down and trial for their own, you know, women's team. You know, so
he's opened it up, so instead of like in the past it's been, you know, people being cherry picked and want her and her from certain teams, he's kind of opened it up and said, well, if you want to play for the Isle of Man, you're welcome to come down to an open trial, and then that's when everyone will kind of be assessed. But I think he's going to do it over a couple of trials, maybe two trials, but the last few trials have just been game related. It's not like going and doing a training session and him watching doing different skills. It's literally being thrown into a game situation, mixed teams, And I kind of think that's the best way to kind of assess people, really.
Yeah.
And so if anyone is interested, it's the 7th of November, yeah, down at the bowl. So
7:30.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be interested to see how, what comes out of the wash from that. Right, well, we've got you in. We'll have a look ahead to this weekend's fixtures. Kim's got some very interesting comments about men's football, but we'll talk about that shortly. We'll start off on Sunday with the two women's Ned Bank Women's Floodlit Cup games, kicking off with the earlier 2:10 kickoff, which is Laxey versus Douglas Royals. Now, we've already had a talk about it briefly. Royals seems to be the predominant who the people think are going to win, but Alex had a glint in her eye. I think Laxey could possibly win them close on Sunday. Yeah. Anyone going to reveal any squad details? Are we at full strength this weekend?
We are. We've actually just signed somebody, Caitlin Smith, as well.
I saw that. Kev sent us the transfer through this morning from Colby, was that?
Hot off the press, is it?
Yeah.
She actually used to play for Royals as a junior, and she left for a couple of years because when she left, to be fair, Royals had quite a big squad. Mm. And now I think we've probably got the least amount of players registered. I think we've got 15 now, including her, registered. She's a good player. And when we've played against her at Colby, she's a threat, she's speedy, and
didn't she score a couple of goals against you?
Well, you're going to say that, but the time that Royals got beat by Colby, I was actually at Finlay's birthday party. So when they had that, everyone kept saying, what happened against Colby? I said, I wasn't there, that was the problem.
You are the glue that holds obviously them
not
together, Kim.
No, obviously not. I was only joking. But no, she's a good player.
So we're in line for a debut on Sunday, yeah?
Well, she could be, you know. Yeah, she could be. I think we're looking pretty good numbers wise. I think we've maybe got one player missing, but yeah. I think we've got the usual suspects.
Alex, Waxy at full strength?
Or? Yeah, pretty good numbers, I'm feeling like. And some new players, you'd mentioned Tia before, who's moved up to play with us now. Mm. I'm excited. It should be a very good game. Yeah. So we never know what
score
happens.
Predictions then, Alex? Was that the next question?
It's good. Good. I mean, actually, you're doing us, John, aren't you? Kim, take the podcast next week. Yeah.
It's supposed to be windy on the Sunday as well, so.
Score prediction. Go on, what are you going to go for, Alex?
Because I'm Laxey till I die. 2-1 Laxey. I feel like Laxey. We'll just maybe clip it.
Simon?
What do you reckon?
I'm going.
Co-manager.
Five, three.
You can get your money's worth, won't you?
Royals. Oh, yeah. Buy a ticket on the door, I would, guys. Goals all round.
Goals galore. Hattie might run out of tape. The other game is the 3:40 kickoff. Sees Corinthians take on Colby. Now, traditionally, Corinthians would be strong favourites for this. Obviously, they've lost a few games at the start of the new season. Stan's always telling me they're embedding new players are coming through. Colby have had a tough start to the season, haven't they, Kim? But you know they're still plugging away, aren't they?
Yeah, this, to be fair, I always find Colby our bogey team because they are strong and when they're at full strength, they are good. They've got legs of Amy Speed, Leanne Prescott, and they are a threat when they're at full strength. And when we played against them on the grass, they had quite a few missing. And so if they're at full strength, I think they could actually give Corinthians a decent game. To be honest, Amy Speed on the AstroTurf. She's a problem.
Yeah. Is she speedy?
Certainly for these old veterans, anyway.
Yeah. Simon?
I'm going to go Colby.
Oh, okay.
Because Corinthians at the moment, you know, they've had a couple of indifferent teams being put out. So I'm just going to be controversial, say Colby.
Colby have got a full team, though. They will actually cause Corinthian problems, whether or not they have their full strength team.
But that's just to create a talking point, you know.
Yeah. Alex, you think Corinthians could?
Agree with you there. I think Colby could take it because Corinthians are just really thin on the ground for numbers, and it's a shame because they've got like some really really good players. But like, I think Colby just because especially if you're saying they've got full squad out, they're very pacey. I reckon they can do it.
Mm. So the double feature should be one to watch. It looks like it obviously. Should be goals galore. There usually is in the Women's League, isn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously, as Simon points out, we've got the Floodlit Cup in front of us. I thought I was imagining some sort of floodlight coming out of it.
It could be arranged, can't it?
Maybe.
It's nicely polished, though.
It is nice. Simon's obviously had the Brasso out this morning.
He did. He's
keeping him busy in the job.
And I'm just looking at the previous winners, obviously Royal. No, last year's not on there.
I know, last year's.
Simon has your job. Get your chisel out this afternoon and sort that one.
Have a count up of who's won at most.
I haven't got time, Kim, but I'm guessing that's a loaded question. Malou won it back to back, 04, 05. No. There we go.
Nice Malou.
Old Boys won it in 2001. Oh, we could spend years just looking at it, can we?
Well, can you tell us off the top of your head?
Royals have won it 7 times.
Right, there you go.
And the Corinthians, I counted 5, and if you add on last year's, maybe that's 6. That's 7-6 in Royals' favour.
That Ballard-Fletcher rivalry is never going to die, is it? right, so look, let's have a look at the Candlelight Premier League games on Saturday, November the 3rd. 2 o'clock kick-off, Dave, we should point out. Obviously, the clock.
Except for one, I think. There's a.
That's in the combi.
Okay.
There you go. But that's 2 o'clock kickoffs across the board, apart from the St Mary's combi game with Old Boys at the bowl here, which is 2:30 because of the booking allocation. So 2 o'clock, was, I think, obviously the game of the day sort of jumps off the page, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the game that you're going to, isn't it? St George's v Peel.
Yeah, I was looking at some old photos. I say old, they're only within the last 8-10 years. They're always feisty affairs, these two, between these two. Geordie's obviously a bit of a new look to them this season. They're ordered some new players, but they're unbeaten.
Yeah, only unbeaten side, and they're just in ominous form, aren't they? Yeah. They just know how to win.
Peel, given looked cruising against Old Boys last year. Week should have been maybe more than 2-0 up at half time against an Old Boys team that were in the Railway Cup mix and still are to a certain extent.
End up 3-2 that game.
Yeah,
didn't it?
They just couldn't kill them off. Missed Lee Gale hit the woodwork 3 times.
It was poached and we did that again. For the women's team, I'm going to get the measure.
Yeah. Probably square. They just couldn't kill the team off. And it was a similar story when they played St Mary's, who obviously had Alex Harrison sent off, and they couldn't kill off a 10-man team. This is going to be an absolute cracker, and to steal Simon's puns, it's going to be a cracker and a firework of a game as well. I don't know. I think Geordie's might just edge this.
I think Geordie's will start as favourites, and rightly so. But Peel are in ominous form themselves. They won their last 5 or 6 in a row now, 6 games in a row. Lee Gale is back from injury and he's banging them in for fun. So he's in team of the week again this week. So he's obviously the danger man for them. So this will be close. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw.
Kim, you said you don't watch much men's football.
I don't, to be fair. I was actually speaking to Gaylor at the weekend about I actually watched this goal. I'm not sure how. I actually accidentally.
The Rocket Ray McMullen, so that was the cheeky free kick, wasn't it? Where he bent in at the near post. Yeah.
I think the keeper was expecting maybe a cross in, to be honest. He was quite close to his far side post.
Yeah.
And then he just.
You only had a couple in the wall as well.
Snuck in on the inside post, didn't it? But I actually don't watch much men's football, that's right, to be fair, but I'm going to go St George's.
Simon?
I'm going to go Peel.
Peel?
Home advantage.
It's at St George's.
I'm just making sure they're paying attention.
To be fair, no. If they've got Peel fans at the Geordies game, that always adds to a bit of the drama.
I'm going to go Peel.
Peel, okay. Alex?
I'd go Geordies.
Geordies, obviously. If they win this, it says they are definitely not dead, are they?
No, not at all.
Another big game down at just over the over a couple of hedges, really, isn't it? At Blackberry Lane, the game you're going to, Dave, is Old Boys versus St Mary's.
Were you impressed with Old Boys last week against Peel?
They battled back. To be fair, whatever Liam put in their tea at half time, I'm guessing he probably just gave him a right old rollicking, to be honest. And I would be scared if Liam gave me a rollicking the size of a man. But they were much improved after the second half. As I say, Peel. Sort of didn't take their chances in the first half to allow Old Boys to be in that position, but they always look a threat at set pieces. Robbie Ward has just got a wand of a left foot, and they're big lads. Martin King, Robbie himself, all through the team. Tom Weir, they're tall, and then Macca at the back. He just battles for everything, doesn't he?
Does, yeah.
He seems to be reborn in that sweeper role.
Scrapped himself a goal, didn't he? I think
he did. Yeah, a scrappy goal at a corner. But as I say, they're a threat at set pieces. It's not going to be an easy game for St Mary's, and it'll be another test of their title credentials. I know everyone's talking about the Railway Cup, but that leads to the title, doesn't it? St Mary's, they seem to be blessed with as Peel in the Women's League. St Mary's blessed with a great squad, I don't know if they've all found their positions yet. Now, Hudgy was playing wide right when I watched him against Peel, but I think he played up front at the weekend.
Yeah, got a hat-trick against Douglas Athletic, so obviously he's in good form for it. Frank Jones and Jack McVeigh, they've just settled in so nicely, so quickly back at the club. So, they've been their standout players so far. Alex Harrison's obviously back now. You missed the start of the season.
Although I think he might have picked up another injury.
Oh, has he?
When he was away with the FA squad the other week against Wolves under 23s.
We should Should also say Sam Halliday was sent off, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in so an altercation with Rhino.
I assume he won't be in the squad.
Well, we should have asked Kev before we came on air. He probably would have told us. I don't know how quickly the suspensions kick in, but yeah, he potentially could be missing. So that'll be a big loss for them.
Definitely.
But yeah, so it's going to be close, but maybe St Mary's just to edge it.
I'd agree with that, I think.
I'd agree with St Mary's as well.
Simon?
Unfortunately, I have to agree with Ken.
Alex?
Yeah, I'm agreeing again. Lexi
versus St John's. St John's obviously seeming a bit of free fall at the moment. Rick Holden's left the building, as it were, and possibly Ireland. It looks like he's maybe emigrating to France. Lexi, again. Unlike the women, Alex, they're struggling a bit at the moment. They got beaten last week and are really back into that relegation dogfight at the bottom of the Premier League. But a young squad, similar to yourself. So the potential's there.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Walters is sort of stealing the plaudits, isn't he? There, he's a very good player. They've got some other excellent youngsters coming through as well. It's a right old dogfight now that down the bottom. St John's have been dragged into it. You know, they've only had two wins this season, so. Them and Castletown are locked on 6 points, and then you've got Moran and Laxey and Royal all locked on 3 points. So it's anyone's guess who will take that relegation spot this season. So this will be a close one.
I'm going to get the Ron Seal out and sit on the fence. I'm going to say that one's going to be a draw for me. I don't know. Hard to split them pair at the moment. They're both out of form. But conversely, whoever wins that, it's going to be act as a big springboard, doesn't it?
It is. I think Laxey might just sneak this one.
Okay.
I'm going St John's.
St John's.
Draw.
Draw. Yeah.
Got to go with my boys, Laxey.
Laxey. I wouldn't expect anything else, Alex. Corinthians versus Castletown. It looks all day a home win to me, although Castletown have picked up wins back to back, haven't they?
Back to back wins, yeah. They've done really well, and they had that 4-1 win against Laxey last week. They're in better form now, but yeah, as you say, Corinthians all day.
And if such is the pressure on those four Railway Cup spots, Corinthians need to win, don't they?
Yeah, but by the quirk of the fixtures, you know, if Geordies and Peel share a draw and Old Boys take anything off St Mary's, then Corinthians could end the week top. So, you know, they've got that added impetus. It'd be interesting to see, but yeah, I think it'll be a home win.
Pains me to say, but I'm going to have to go Corinthians too.
Simon is shaking his head.
I'm going to go with my man Sean Doyle because he's been playing basketball together. So I'm going for Sean Steen.
Sean, there you go.
Corinthians.
Corinthians. Final game in the Premier League this week takes place at Croydon Larrain. You see his Russian welcome Moran. Again, this looks like a home win on the coupon, as it were. But Moran have showed a bit of fight in the last few weeks. And Ashley Higginbotham...
Four goals against Laxey. Yeah. We keep saying Laxey, sorry. Yeah, he's in good form himself. So, but this should be a Russian win. Although they haven't played for a couple of weeks, have they? So, they might be a little bit rusty, but should be a Spaniards win.
Mighty Spaniards to win, Kim?
Yeah, I'd say Russian as well.
Yeah, Russian as well.
I'd back that.
Russian, heavily backed in the podcast studio this week, so make sure you get down and put your pound on that one. So JCK Division 2, 6 games, again, all kicking off at 2 o'clock. I must stress that, 2 o'clock kickoffs. It's a bit of an underwhelming weekend in the fixture-wise this week, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, there have been lots of great fixtures recently. So this weekend is sort of taking a week off. But but there's an intriguing match on the cards at the Niverson Stadium where Oncombe go up against Maloon. Both the sides lost their previous games. Maloon's unbeaten start to the season ended narrowly against Pulley last week, so they'll be desperate to bounce back. Oncombe got hammered by Ramsey, so, you know, both desperate for the win. I think Malou will just about start as favourites.
Yeah, Malou very, I saw on Twitter, quite complimentary about Paul Rose last week, which is always nice to see in a defeat. I agree with you. I think they may just edge this, but you never know. They've got a result in them, as we say, pretty much every week, don't they?
Yeah.
Kim?
There are two teams I'm not massively familiar with, so I'm going to go with you guys as well.
Not many people do, Kim. Yeah. So.
I'm going to say draw again.
Draw?
I've got to be right sometime.
Yeah.
I go for Malou if they've been unbeaten so far. I reckon they can take it.
Yeah, they, as I say, they'll be eager to bounce back, that famed bounce back ability that Ian Dowie coined all those years ago. Colby versus Ayr. Now, this looks like it could be a half decent game, this, Dave, to me.
Yeah, well, Colby go into this on a high. They got their first win of the season last week, didn't they? Yeah.
4 points unbeaten in two.
That's it. Andy Baker's hat trick giving them, helping them on the way to.
Did you see the tweet about that? The goal scorers' combined ages last week was like 117.
Yes. Yeah, it's a brilliant little stat. They're all hanging on to their 30s, I think, is what they said. Yeah. So, Yeah, so you know they'll be bored by that win over.
Aren't we all?
You're 31. What are you on about? So Colby are obviously bored by that win. It's going to be a close game, though, I think.
We have to. You know, the travelling will be a big influence on this. Coming all the way down from Andrews, maybe a stop off in St John's on the way for refreshments and a change of tyres. But yeah, I would say depends. I won't want to steal your thunder, but if it's windy, that will be a nullifier down there as well, won't it?
Yeah,
but I'm going to go with the Moonlighters. It's that time of year, isn't it? I'm going to say Colby. Colby win.
Colby win.
Colby win.
Colby win.
It's sounding good for Colby. Christian Stereopoulos will be over the moon with that. I should actually just point out, he did message me this week. He scored two for the Colby.
Don't worry, he's getting the Colby mention. Corner.
Yeah. But he also pointed out that Dan Hattersley may be signing for a club in the south.
Really?
So I believe he's trained with a couple of teams. So
not his old club, is it?
No. Okay. Oh, no, he has trained with them, I believe. But yes, so that could be one hell of a mid-season signing.
Wow, all the way from Geelong.
Geelong, yeah. Title winning with Geelong.
Yeah.
So we'll watch this space.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kev will send the email post-haste for me. So, yes, Colby Air. I'm going with Colby. Right, Jim's Governors Athletic. I've actually got some coverage of this game, haven't we?
Yeah, Ragbo's Sam. Sam Turton's going to be on the ground for this one. Yeah. Jim's are in good form. They've really picked up recent weeks. Tony Sewell, he mentioned last week he was confident of beating Mills, and they did, 3-2, which is a great result for them. So that puts them up, and they're sort of mid-table now, so it's looking good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Governors, they've just failed to ignite so far, haven't they? Tom Chamberlain has got a task on his hands again. As you say, Jim's a team in form, and at home, you'd probably just favour them to edge that.
I think so, yeah.
Kim?
After Tony Sewell's comment before, I'm inclined to go Governors.
No,
I think I'll have to go Jim's on this one.
Governors as well?
I'm going to say Governors because that's, you know.
Simon's sticking up for his co-manager. Alex?
Yeah, I'd have to go Jim's, I think.
Jim's, yeah. Looks like a Jim's win for me. Mark Connor obviously back at his club after a spell at St George's last
week. Yeah, got two of those goals last week.
Yeah, the Fireman Sam. Right, Foxtel versus Union Mills. Union Mills, Stephen Fox must be tearing his hair out. They're so inconsistent at the moment. And Foxtel, this should be a home win, shouldn't it?
Yeah, Jason Chatwood's leading the way again for them. You know, he had a great season last year and he got another hat-trick last week. They beat D&D 5-1, so, you know, they'll go into this as favourites. But Mills, you know, they beat Pulley earlier in the season, so they've got it in their locker. It just depends which team turn up on the day.
Kim?
What am I going to go for this one?
Billy Oak Park, lovely ground there.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mills, I think, you know.
Mills,
there we go.
Controversial. Simon?
Mills.
Mills?
Mm-hmm.
I have to go Foxtel, I feel like.
Yeah, Alex is balancing it out, isn't it?
It's getting near to game time now. It's on.
Mighty Dales for the win there for me. Rycobb versus Douglas and District. Now, are they still top at the moment?
Yeah,
bouncing over the league table, yep.
Yeah, they're 2 points clear of Pulley in second and Foxtel in third.
Unbeaten?
Yeah, the only unbeaten side now in Division 2. They're looking good. They're not scoring loads of goals. They're just getting the right results, they'll start this as big favourites. They should get a few goals on the board.
However,
we say
every week we pretty much write Douglas and District off, don't we?
We do.
And they do their utmost to try and prove us wrong.
And you have to say tomorrow, Friday, is actually Dave Matheson's birthday. So is it going to be a birthday present for him or who knows?
Oh, who knows, yeah. But yeah, Youthy favourite for me.
Youthy for me.
Simon?
Yeah, Youthy for me as well.
Yeah, me too.
Youthy. Well, there you go, Dave. We've given a wholehearted backing there. Michael United versus Ramsey. A derby of sorts, as you will. I think it was Michael's Mellier at the weekend, wasn't it?
It was. They raised a lot of money for charity, so well done to them.
Yeah, and they welcome Ramsey to Balera Road. Ramsey will be, I suppose, a little bit shocked about these that they beat Onken last week,
6-0. 4-0 it was, yeah. I think both sides were missing some players. I think Dale Walker and that were missing for Onken, which is obviously a big blow. But Ramsey, they're just going about their business. They're up to fourth at the moment. They've got a game in hand over Pulley and Foxtel, so they could go level with them if they get that win. They'll certainly be favourites in this one.
Kim?
I'm going to go with the favourites.
Which are?
Ramsey.
I'll do the pay attention. Simon?
No, I'm going to go Michael.
Oh, okay.
It's game time again, Ramsey.
Game time is getting close to Sunday.
Ramsey's looking favourites for me. Obviously, we had the lads in last week for the podcast, so do listen again. It was quite interesting, wasn't it?
It was. even if you don't.
A solid 3 out of 5, I'd say. Dave, Comedy Corner.
Favourite time of the week, except for the weather.
Yeah.
Corinthians were the biggest winners in Comedy One last weekend. They thrashed them around 11-1. There was no doubt in the star of the show in this one, as Adam McCulloch helped himself to a double hat-trick. Michael Ayres was also on form on the adjacent pitch at Balfletcher, as he scored 4 times in Royal 5-1 win over St John's. So obviously it was a good day at the office for the Whites, because the first team got their first win of the season.
Dave, I always knew he'd do well next last week. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Michael played there.
There you go.
Boom. Mm. Michael Ayres,
yeah. I'm up for the biscuit.
Peel remain St Mary's nearest challengers after emerging triumph with the tight battle at Old Boys. Mark Kelly and Dan Pickering sealing a 2-1 win. And goals from Sam Kane, Joey Morland, Jay Kelly and an own goal. And Geordie's a 4-1 win over Bradley. One man caused a bit of a stir on social media on Combi 2 last week. I don't know if you saw this, Andy.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Mark, hashtag fake injuries, Quirk, yeah. Scored 5 goals in D&D's impressive 5-0 win at Foxtail.
I think it was just to the astonishment that Chris Cave read his name out on the Manx Radio. He was flabbergasted that the man had scored 5 goals.
He was, wasn't he? So, but despite the doubts, it was confirmed by Mr. D&D himself, Dave Matheson.
Yeah. It did happen.
It did, so well done to Mark Quirk. Mm. Another man to bag 5 goals was Joe Rees, who helped Donkin beat Ramsey 7-5 and a 12-goal thriller, as you do. Very Combi score, that is. While Luke Booth's hat-trick sealed a 3-0 win for Mills at Jim's. Dan Kelly also grabbed a hat-trick for Colby, and your favourite man, Stereo, he backed the brace at the Moonlighters beat Governors 7-3. And Michael and Ayre shared 4 goals, and Malou edged past Pulley 2-1.
Exciting stuff. Now... The girls probably aren't. I don't know if you've encountered this before. It's a magical moment in the week for me. Dave reads the weather.
Andy doesn't have a very exciting life, by the way.
True story.
Yeah, it's looking good over the next couple of days. Stays mostly dry today and tomorrow, with the odd chance of rain at night. But it's not looking as good for Saturday, though. There's going to be heavy rain and a bit of wind, especially in the afternoon. Mm. But good news for Kim and Alex, though. It's looking good for Sunday. Dry, but mostly cloudy.
Oh, there you go. Chances for postponement this week, though?
I think there's a good chance.
There's a good chance.
Maybe. 20% chance, Dave.
Can I revisit my predictions?
The weather. The weather with the stars. Yeah.
Right, before we go, just a quick bit of any other business. Did you see Sid Batty and Jack Kamada? Played for Myersco's development team this week. Obviously, they're both there. They both actually had trials with England schoolboys in the last week or so. So good luck to both of them. Hopefully, they'll get through to the next stage. We were talking about it at work. We think Chris Bass Jr. was probably the last Manx. Yeah. Manxy to play for England schoolboys.
He was at Cirencester.
When he was down at Cirencester Agricultural College, so good luck to the boys there. Of course, the other big news this week was that the under-18s have been drawn to play Norfolk, away at Norfolk in the next round of the FA County Youth Cup, so it'll be a long trip for them, and it'll probably take the best part of a week, that one. last time they went to East Anglia, do you remember when that was, Dave?
I haven't got a clue.
2009, I was there, and we went to Suffolk, and there's some tremendous post-match audio.
And hairstyles.
I unearthed this week from an interview I did with a very young Jack McVeigh, who sounds as Manx as the hills. So it's worth looking on our Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. I think I put it on all three, so it's worth 57 seconds of anyone's life, if I do say so myself.
I've just had a message off Liam Doyle as well. Obviously,
That's impressive. You didn't even get your phone out.
He just missed out in the playoffs the other week. Yep. Nashville lost on penalties to Cincinnati.
Yep.
He's just notified that the official USL website is actually... He's caught the eye for them as one of the standout players of the season.
Wow. Beats that haircut.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Streamlined now. Yeah. So. Since joining for Nashville, his defensive numbers have been brilliant. He obviously won the Defensive Player of the Year award for the club. So they're now tipping him to move on and to do better things and sort of help establish himself at Nashville as a first team starter.
Wow.
Potentially when they go up to the MLS in future years. So well done, Liam.
Should we just point out the team that beat Nashville versus Cincinnati, weren't they? And they're actually in the MLS from 2019, aren't they?
So yeah.
They are more than decent side there. Right, ladies, Simon, I feel like we've bored you for the last 20 minutes or so, but thanks for coming in anyway.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck on Sunday. It sounds like when the predictions is going to be an absolute goal fest, so if anyone's at a loose end on Sunday, come down, have a watch.
You'll be there, hopefully.
Well, yeah, with a stinking hangover, no less. Just make sure you've got a gin on hand for him. He likes a hair of the dog.
He certainly does. And Sam took me for fireworks, is that right?
Absolutely, in our favour, though.
Just nowhere near the pitch. No. We're still paying for the last one. Right, remember you can listen to all our back catalogue, which now numbers over 70 now, Dave. It's amazing, isn't it? Kim's not listened to one.
No.
She still won't after this.
No.
Definitely won't today.
audioboom.com/channel/MagsFootball. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and Google Podcasts.
Well done, mate.
Until next week.
Start for now.